pregame show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey you, Bravo's now in Canada.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm looking forward to this.
Subscribe now with your TV service provider.
Fall in Canada has never been hotter.
CISL Vancouver is Sportsnet 650, the official home of the Canucks, Giants, and everything hockey. Listen live anytime on the Sportsnet app.
What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drantz here on a Wednesday, which means it is the return of the crossover with our pals Donnie and Dolly from Czech TV. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. We are live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. And yeah, we're back to our old Wednesdays of the crossover with Donnie and Dolly. And then at 1 o'clock, our guy, Jason Bukala.
Books.
So it's a strong lineup, as always on a Wednesday
love,
today.
Love Books. Love Dolly. Love Don Taylor.
We're going to try to get the crossovers set up. We'll see. We'll see if we can make it work. It's preseason for everyone, as they say. But hopefully, we'll be able to get Donnie and Dolly on here momentarily, or at least in a few minutes. Anyways, yeah, and then, as you said, Books is always a pleasure to have on the show as well. Lots to get into today, too, right? Coming off the first preseason action for the Canucks last night. They beat the Kraken 3-1. They're playing again in Abbotsford tonight with some players carrying over from last night's game, but a whole host of new ones as well.
So speaking of preseason for all of us, does that mean whiteboard at 12:30?
Whiteboard at 1:30 is typically what we do.
Okay, last segment.
Because we go long with the crossover.
Perfect.
Then we do Books at 1, and then we wrap up with the whiteboard.
Thank you.
Jog your memory there for you.
I need to know what we're doing so that I can do it. Hey, pretty good start. Much better than last year.
Much better than last year, and also in terms of the entertainment value of preseason hockey,
yeah.
I can't ask for much more than that.
Game had some
a strangely emotional, testy game.
Yeah, game had some bite, some nastiness. Not a lot of like, you know, if you're doing like stock up, stock down. I thought pretty much good performances across the board.
Mm-hmm.
The conversations that I think are stemming from that game where fans are being at all critical from what I'm seeing in Canucks online spaces. Elias Pettersson, the defenseman. But I thought he got better as the game went on. Like, mm-hmm. by the third period, he made a great play with like a deke behind the net to evade pressure and then earned a clearance on the penalty kill late. And he had an awesome pinch with a physical play and a good play with his stick to knife the puck and maintain possession on one of his last shift or two of the game. That's what you want from a 20-year-old player, right? Like, I'm not looking, especially, I mean, it's one thing for a Lekkerimäki, a guy who I was watching in camp and I was like, okay, this guy actually looks pro.
Yeah.
But he was picked in the top half of the first round and projected to go higher than that and won MVP at the World Juniors last season and had a historic SHL scoring season. Like, for Elias Pettersson, you're kind of looking at a different caliber of prospect. And, you know, you come into a game like that, maybe the pace looks a little much for you for the first half hour, and then you settle into your game and get better as the game goes along. That's what the first preseason game of the year is for. I actually come out of that with you know, not like a higher opinion of him because I already had a really high opinion of him, but with like absolute zero cause for concern. I think that was like a creditable performance from a young defender.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it illustrates how important the context of previous expectations. Like, what are your priors for the player coming into the preseason, right? Because as you explain, your expectations for Lekkerimäki should be higher. Your expectations for Atu Ratu, who we'll talk about, right? For players who are older, more experienced, higher pedigree, you really should. Like, there was no barring an absolute phenom-type performance from Elias Pettersson at training camp and preseason, like, the question isn't, is he going to make this team? That's not a question that really applies to him. The question is, what does he show and how does he develop over the course of this season and beyond? So a couple of bad plays in his first preseason action really doesn't tell you that much about the direction his season is going
to
take.
Not that anyone's paying close attention to this, but he led the team in 5-on-5 minutes and was top pair on the PK. Like, that was awesome. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a high rating of Pettersson generally, which I do, I think you saw, like, it was one of those Rorschach test games where it's like, if you wanted to go in and be like, oh, the Canucks have nothing in the system, which, by the way, like, usually I do, except I really like this player. I guess there's grounds to do it if you squint and want to be a jerk about it. But for the most part, that was like a solid performance. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Sammy Blais, people are like, you know, he's going to need to do more to make this team. And by the way, that's true, especially because he has to earn a contract. Don't get me wrong. PTO guy, you got to, you know, bang that door down, right? Like, that, you got to kick that door down, SWAT team style. But the one thing that I was most curious to see about Blais in that environment was, can he get there? Can he get there to play physically? Can he get there to do the sort of, what was the word that Rick Tocchet used to describe what he wants from him? It's the same word about, like, the thing in a cleaning product or a face wash, abrasive. I don't know why I went to chemistry there, but I just couldn't think of the word. I thought he had enough foot speed to play an abrasive game, even if he wasn't as impactful as Linus Karlsson or certainly Ratu or, you know, Lekker Mäki, some of the other hopefuls on the roster, and maybe loses pace relative to them. You know, what I saw, it, you know, actually allayed my concerns in some ways about what his game might look like as he tries to make this roster and what he could do if he were in fact inserted in.
Well, and as Rick Tocchet said about Sammy Blais after the game, right, he made it sound like it's going to be this kind of ongoing process. And so I wonder, even if he's on a PTO with the Canucks, but he ends up signing in Abbotsford, and then maybe later
he's already got the AHL contract.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So he has that AHL contract, so he sticks in the organization, and then maybe down the line becomes an option for the Canucks rather than right out of the gate. One thing I do want to talk about as we try to get connected here with Donnie and Dolly for the crossover is one of the things we put in the spotlight yesterday when we were talking about the game was the kind of depth center battle, right, with Neil Zaman, Max Sasson, Atu Ratu, all lining up down the middle. And, you know, the legitimate questions about the team's center depth beyond Suter and Bluger in the bottom six. And to kind of check back in on that, for me, Atu Ratu, the clear winner of that battle last night. And also, I will say, you know, we'll talk about Lekker Mäki, and he has 2 points, and he looked really strong. You know, obviously had a tough first shift, but made some really nice plays as well. But I'm not sure anybody raised their stock more based on last night than Atu Ratu. And that's in part because of the plays he was making and, you know, everything he was doing on the ice, but also just listening to what Rick Tocchet had to say, right? Yeah. When you hear an NHL coach talk about, hey, we put him out there multiple times for draws on the PK on his offside and he won them and helped us, like, almost single-handedly kill off, you know, 75 plus seconds of penalty time because he's winning those draws. Those are the things that are so, so important to NHL coaches, right? And then he goes on to say, hey, he was out there playing a heavy game. So you start to think about it. It's like, okay, he liked what he was doing in the faceoff circle. He liked that he's playing a heavy game. He says he's improved his skating. Everything I'm hearing from Rick Tocchet is telling me that, look, maybe Ratu doesn't make this team. Maybe they don't want him to be the 13th forward because they'd rather have him playing in Abbotsford, right, which makes a ton of sense. But it feels like he's going to give the guys at the bottom end of the roster a run for their money. Just if, like, based on what he's doing and what Rick Tocchet is saying, he's going to have a real chance to make this team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. No question about it. And this has been a continuation for Ratu of what was a really strong Young Stars tournament. I thought he was one of the best skaters at the tournament by a fair margin. I thought he looked NHL ready. I thought he looked quicker. I wrote as much. Jets fans still mad at me for saying that he was a standout ahead of Brad Lambert, but I believed it. Like, I honestly was watching the games and just thinking, this guy's, you know, he was beating multiple Flames like players. They'd come at him in droves, and he was controlling the puck through multiple players, like a Gulliver Lilliputian situation.
Sure. Right?
Like, it was preposterous stuff from a 21-year-old, and even in that environment, and then followed it up with a really strong training camp, and look, had a great game last night. Here's one for you. 14-4 in the faceoff circle for mm-hmm. Ratu. Pius Suter, 3-12. We've seen Pius Suter be a really good winger for mm-hmm. this team. You know, like a really impactful winger for this team. Are we sure? Like, if this guy can go out and win draws, which, yep. by the way, was a major reason why the Canucks, despite his success on the wing last season, moved him back to center for young stars and have stuck with that and trialed him last night with sort of the other center hopefuls, where he stood out head and shoulders, I think, above the competition. I mean, Vancouver's bottom six center depth is a concern. A small C concern. I think mm-hmm. they'll be fine if it's Suter Blueger, but it is a small C concern going into the season. And in some ways, yeah, Ratu's play upped his stock, but you know, the fact that Suter lost draw after draw after draw, also, I think you have to look at it as a push and pull factor, right? Like, did that also create more of an opening for yep. Ratu to make this team or contribute? While Suter perhaps, you know, still contributes, but maybe in a different spot in the lineup than we expect.
All right, lots more in the game last night and the game coming up tonight in Abbotsford. But we've done it. We've figured it out. We've mastered the technology. It's time for the first crossover of the new season with our pals Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal from Donnie and Dolly on Check TV every Monday to Friday, 10 to noon. And they join us here. Guys, it's nice to catch up. How you doing?
Good, good. Who's the guy in green?
they call me Luigi in some video games.
Sure.
You would not believe how excited he was about this fleece in the bullpen before the show. Yeah. He was like, oh, man, I look so cool. I love it so much.
I got it on sale. It's perfect for these rainy days.
You going to a Seahawks game?
The Color Rush jersey here.
I walk everywhere, right? So I walked 45 minutes here in the rain, fleece and a raincoat. Perfectly comfortable, perfectly dry.
So the foot's fine then.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh what? Yeah. No, I'm set. I mean, I'm still not cleared to run, but I don't run a lot anyway, so I think I'll be all right.
It's something you're managing. Yeah, no popliteus problems no, for you
zero.
There. No. By the way, I was watching the show earlier for you guys. So happy birthday uh-oh. To Don Taylor. Congratulations yep, on that.
Thank you. The looking, legend. Looking happy birthday, buddy.
Looking forward to your senior discounts, I'm sure. But I got to say, well, they were talking about it on the
wow.
show.
True.
They
true.
Were talking true. About I it on the show. It. Whatever. I also got to say,
it'll be here before you know it.
Yep, yep.
And there's a long list. White Spot, Denny's, BC Ferry, Shoppers Drug Mart.
Yep.
So Rick's there next year.
So sorry.
I got a ways to go.
Not only are you not offended about being called old, but you're also openly admitting to being cheap.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
Yo, well, that goes way back.
But I also got to say, Donnie, I wanted to wish you happy birthday and also wish you kudos on the Jonathan Lucker-Mackey to Wayne Gretzky comp that you dropped on the show earlier today, making Gretzky-esque passes out there in his first preseason game against the Kraken. I love it.
I know. I'm sure I'll hear about it because people brought up that there was one time years ago I mentioned that Mason Raymond, his skating style is similar to Gretzky's. And, of course, Dave Pratt went on and on about how I felt that Mason Raymond was the next coming of Wayne Gretzky. All I said was that his skating style, and much like Leckerman kind of made it Gretzky-like power. I didn't see where what was he thinking there. This was in the first period. He made a pass. I'm going, what is he? And sure enough, Brock Besser comes into the empty space, grabs the puck. It was beautiful. Just one small moment there that reminded me of 99. And that's it.
Well, let's not pump the brakes, boys. The hype train has left the station. let's talk Lucker-Mackey. What were your impressions? I mean, I've been on the show all week saying, hey, what I saw at camp, I think this guy's going into preseason with a real shot at making this team. He surely can't have hurt himself with that performance last night. Do you see it similarly, Rick?
Oh, yeah. And I just love his start of training camp, guys. You know, right from day one. With DeBrusk and Pettersson, let's see if those three play in Abbotsford tonight. Mm-hmm. But you just want to see the hockey sense. You want to see the skill. You want to see the shot. And on the play that Donnie was talking about was the Besser pass. And he showed you the vision and the hockey sense on that play. That's what you want to see from this young kid. And, you know, young kids were put high up in training camp on the top line last year at camp. They didn't last a weekend. This guy's going to get a good long, long look from the Vancouver Canucks. They need to know how far this kid is away. I have no issues if he goes to Abbotsford, plays on the top line, gets all the power play time, gets his confidence up. He had two assists last night. Again, on the second assist, you saw his hockey sense off the boards, and you saw that, the power play assist. You saw that. There's a lot to like about this kid, but also they're going to be patient. You're not going to see him rushed into the lineup. You're not going to see him replace Brock Besser. You're not going to see all this stuff that people want to see him in the lineup. He's going to have to earn it. He's got a coach here that is making everybody earn it, and no one's getting any freebies because you're a first-round pick or you got here trade because of the GM traded you. Yeah, with this guy, this coach, you got to earn it, and I am fully confident Lekera Mäki, no matter when that date is, he will earn it.
Well, the other thing with him, guys, is when he handled the puck, and Rick Tocchet really values this. Obviously, Rick Tocchet values, a strong, hard game, work ethic, all of that. But I just found him very calm with the puck.
Yes.
On the power play, 5-on-5, whatever the situation. He went on and on last night and has in the postseason last year about how calm Seelov is in the net. I think Rick Tocchet and a lot of coaches really value it, whether or not you can be calm in difficult situations within reason. You don't want to be falling asleep out there. But there was no panic last night. I realize it wasn't a regular season game. It wasn't a playoff game, certainly. But he did show that quality, and I think that Rick Tocchet really values that.
Well, Drance and I were talking just before the show. We were kind of saying, even if you knew nothing about any of the players involved in the game last night and you turned it on, he looked like an NHL player, right? You wouldn't have singled him out and said, oh, that's a young player who's going through it. First shift may be accepted, but as you pointed out, just really comfortable on the puck, really calm, can make those kind of NHL-level plays. And I do wonder, as you say, look, it's going to be when he gets the chance, he'll earn it. We don't know what the prognosis, the timeline is on Dakota Joshua coming back, but I wonder, could Lekera Mäki start the season with this team, play a handful of games and then go down to Abbotsford? Would that necessarily be a bad thing to give him a little taste of NHL action off the start of the year?
One of my replacements for Joshua, if he doesn't make it, is a guy like Sammy Blaze. I was a little concerned last night. I'm not going to lie to you guys. When the coach comes out and says, I want him to elevate his fitness so he can be a little bit faster. That's for a guy to be on a PTO and have the coach call him out a little bit about his fitness, that's a little concerning for me. But he did go on to say we're going to give him a chance. He's a forechecker, brings a heavy game. So if I'm looking at anybody replacing Joshua, if Joshua's not going to be on opening night, I'm looking at a guy like Blaze and someone of that ilk. But you're right, though. If they decide to keep him for 5, 6, 7, 8 games or whatever, let's see where this thing goes. There's a lot of preseason games left. I think he's going to get – didn't Rick say Tocchet? He wants to play him 4 to 5 preseason games. We got a lot of time to analyze this guy. I don't think you're going to find out just from last night where we're at, where we are going to be at heading into the opening night.
And we didn't really see the shot yesterday, which is
that's the other thing
he's really early known for. So you Canuck fans can look forward to that.
A couple other standouts from the game last night: Atu Ratu, Linus Karlsson. I mean, it's going to be hard for these guys to crack this roster, given just the numbers game, just the raw numbers game, the cap, this team's desire to avoid LTI, plan A being to carry 3 goaltenders when Demko's back, on and on. We know how the deck is stacked against them, but what did you make of the performance of some of the hopefuls in the preseason debut, gentlemen?
Help me out, guys. Linus Karlsson was picked up, or pardon me, was inserted into the lineup during the postseason at one point.
Yes,
was he not last year? So I mean, there's confidence from Rick Tocchet, and he certainly didn't look out of place. Helped with the first power player, the first goal of the game yesterday. So there's that. And Atu Ratu, just look at his stat line. I mean, first and foremost, and I know he played some wing last year as well, and it looks like he's improved his skating, but 14-4 in the faceoff circle, hits 6 shot attempts. There was a lot there. Mm-hmm. Just if you hadn't even watched the game, you just look at that stat line. Hey, it's all about getting noticed at this time of year for somebody in his position, and he certainly got noticed last night. And Tocchet, spoke glowingly of him afterwards.
And guys, if Ratu hits, it's going to make that Bo Horvat trade look a whole lot better, right? And his progress from year to year has been absolutely phenomenal. But the one thing that Tocchet said last night, he praised his work ethic. I still say one of the best things a coach can say about a player is his hard work ethic. And this guy, he said, is busting his ass every day. He has come in with the mindset. They all have. But he's come in with a mindset, I'm going to make this team. Even if he doesn't on opening night, I just I think that Attu Ratu's development, there's not a ton of centers down the farm. The Canucks haven't developed a ton of centers over the last few years. Horvat was one. Let's give him credit. But you know what? When you can develop a good centerman and he's showing good signs, you can't beat that, Thomas. You can't beat it.
Horvat was one 10 years ago. My goodness.
Yeah, okay.
It's been
that's
a while.
What I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I meant.
No,
there hasn't
sure.
been a ton since Horvat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He scored a nice goal last night.
Yeah, exactly.
And
Madison
you know
Square.
What? Henrik
but
Sedin,
it's a good story.
Got to give them credit for that.
Yeah.
Ryan Kessler, great one. Good development.
Yeah.
But, you know, the
Mike
kind of
Ridley.
The flip side of the Sammy Blais thing
Linden.
Where he's getting called out by Rick Tocchet, Rick, is – he was raving yeah. about Attu Ratu, right? And, like, sometimes the most important things in these preseason games,
yeah.
it's not what we see on the ice. It's what the coach has to say about it. And I especially
yeah.
think, like, we all know how much coaches love guys who win faceoffs, right? I don't know if there's anything Attu Ratu could have done better to help himself last night than win all those faceoffs and have Rick Tocchet specifically call it out. Like, that's the kind of thing that earns you an yep. NHL job on a permanent basis.
Well, Dakota Joshua is out.
Yep.
And Rick Tocchet talked about using Attu Ratu on the right side on that penalty kill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about how he managed to clear the puck and, you know, kill off, what, 75 seconds worth of Seattle power play time. And Dakota Joshua, penalty killer. So they're, the puzzle pieces seem to be fitting for this guy. And like Rick says, a good thing for anybody who felt the Bo Horvat trade might have been a bit iffy. But, yeah, it certainly didn't look out of place. And as you mentioned, Jamie, to have your head coach come out publicly like that is a big,
yep.
big thing.
Archer Stilov is another big part of the story last night. And look, goaltending for the Canucks has been in discussion for a long time now, really since Thatcher Demko
yep.
was re-injured in the playoffs. They have Kevin Lankinen. Stilov's looked really good last night. We don't know when Demko is going to be back. Rick, how do you expect them to split time to use their goalies to start the season while they wait and see what's going on with Demko?
Well, I'd be shocked if they don't carry three goaltenders to start the year, yep. obviously. You have to, and you absolutely, unequivocally have to. Here's the thing about Seelovs I want to say. Saturday, the Canucks signed Lankinen. So you think he was doing cartwheels? I don't think he was. And then he goes in and has the great scrimmage the next day in Penticton. Great last night. I think this guy's mental makeup is great. Ever since they signed Lankinen, he's been good. And I got to give this kid credit. You know, signing Lankinen was twofold. They're concerned about Demko's durability and maybe concerned of Seelovs being able to carry the mail as, you know, maybe for long periods of time. And, you know, they signed Lankinen and the kid's been great ever since that Saturday. So I got to give this kid credit, you know, Seelovs. Three saves on turnovers in the first period. Could have been a different game, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Lekaramäki had the first turnover. But in the first period, he was great. He was dialed in early. Big saves in the last 5 minutes, third period. Really good night for Seelovs.
Yeah, and we also remember that there was a knee issue, supposedly a knee issue not that long ago with Seelovs.
Yeah.
In
Latvia.
Okay, I thought you were mentioning another part of the body there for a second. But in Latvia, you're right. We'll leave that alone. And did you notice, I made that Gretzky comparison.
Yeah, you did.
Earlier with Lekkermäki. But the save that Seelovs made, where he dove across, robbing Burakovsky, reminiscent of, and again, this is another outlandish comparison, but the type of save it was reminiscent of Marc-Andre Fleury robbing Nick Lidstrom at the end of Game 7 of the 2009 Stanley Cup Final. I know the situation is a little bit different, but the style of save, it was the same type of save. Diving across, putting his body in front of the puck. Very, very impressed. And all this means, of course, that the Canucks will make it to the Stanley Cup Final. And there will be a save like that, not just in preseason.
Next, you're going to say Nils Höglander looks like
Scott.
Brett Hull scoring there. Done. You're bringing out all the old-time
references. Now that you mention it.
Taylor's got Gretzky, Marc-Andre Fleury in the Vancouver lineup. And apparently
I wasn't the only one who made that Marc-Andre Fleury comparison, by the way.
And Lekera Mackey's apparently also a Pasternak. So, hey, the Canucks are going to win the Cup.
It's a lot of talent. Lekera Mackey's not just one, but two Hall of Fame caliber players.
Yeah. He's like Pasternak and Gretzky combined. It's incredible. This guy's going to be amazing. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I never said Pasternak.
Good luck, kid. Good luck, kid. We're not getting ahead of ourselves at all.
Yeah. Welcome to Vancouver.
You guys didn't talk about the you didn't talk about the Alrickson kid. I you know, he's been a good story as well so far, training camp and last night the fight. You know, last year in the
You're upset because we didn't bring this up today on our show.
Yeah, I am upset. This kid, I've been pumping his tires. I'm on this guy's train. Arlickson.
Pardon me?
It's your so show. Who's stopping train. You from bringing it up, Rick? Just bring him up.
Yeah, go.
Donnie was always saying, I don't have full say on our show.
We spent 3 hours talking about my birthday.
It was our birthday, Donnie. <today. laughs> But this Arlickson kid, last year in the OHL Guelph, a lot of kids asked him to fight. He had one fight, and he did so well in the fight, nobody asked him in the OHL to fight again. His agent told me that story last night. I'm going to tell you something. This guy's come back. Remember we talked about year over year, hockey people want to see progress in young prospects, and they're getting it with this kid. And I talked to his GM in Guelph. They've got him on the first line this year, and he's going to be having a significant year in the OHL in Guelph. I'm really expecting good things from him, but so much progress with this kid year over year. That's huge.
And he showed hands. He got a couple of goals in the Young Stars Classic, right?
Yep.
So I was in Penticton, obviously watching Young Stars, and one scout, you know, much like Rick, banging the table like this is an unbelievable prospect. Wait for 2 years, he's going to skyrocket. Just absolute praise through the roof. And then another scout saying, you know, some people make hockey look easy, and he makes it look hard, right? So like very polarizing. In terms of what you'll hear from people in the industry. And I find watching him at Young Stars, I'd have that same, like if you go look at his first goal at Young Stars, he goes in to forecheck a defender who curls off of him pretty easily and ends up, because they were able to elude sort of him forechecking in on them, on the wrong side of him, so that when the turnover comes, Ulrichsson's got that clear path to the net. And there's so many plays like this where I'll be like, ooh, I don't know about that. And then, oh, but then it works out. It's like, I have no clue what way that this player goes. But what I do know is a 6'6" big forward fella like that, you know, 12 guys, 6'6" or over played forward in the NHL last season. 10 years ago, the number was 5. So you're seeing sort of the evolution of the forward, these supersized forwards. Canucks have a very interesting project in Ulrichsson. Feels like he's trending in a direction where he might get signed to an ELC before he gets sent back to the O in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, he should have been. A lot of people expected him to be sent in the first wave of cuts to the OHL. Yep. He didn't get sent.
Yep.
He didn't. And that's massive. Impressive. Him and Sawyer Mineo. That's another kid. Yep. You know what? But this kid right here, he hasn't even filled out his body yet. I mean, he's still about a year, 2 years away from filling out. That's what's he going to look like? What did Tyler Myers say last night? This guy's huge, and he's got 20 pounds on me.
Tyler Myers would know.
Yes. Yeah. And how, you know, and these tall, gangly kids, no coordination, no core strength. They got big skates. They take a little bit longer to fill out.
Well, so you know that because one of your kids was like that. Right?
Size 13 skates. You think those are easy?
Expensive too.
Expensive as heck.
Got to pay for all the extra material.
Keep an eye. Oh, big time. But keep an eye on this kid. And Sawyer Mineo, too. And this Russian kid, Kirill Kucherov, he's going to be good coming out of the OHL. These guys, I'm telling you right now, keep an eye on those two.
What, the Russian kid, what's his last name again, Rick?
Kucherov.
Hey, we know who you're talking
it
about.
Either, but I
don't.
I pray to God he makes the team.
Yes.
I texted Milstein. That's a Milstein client, and I said, "How do you pronounce his name?"
No chance he said that.
And Milstein sent me a. How do you send the audio in your text?
A voice memo.
Called? Audio text.
Yeah.
He sent me a voice memo, Milstein.
You can't even say voice memo.
I don't use that stuff. I don't even know how to use it.
And listen, sorry. And from
Milstein
his
sent me
and from his pronunciation audio, you got Kucherov.
Kucherov, something like that. This kid's going to be good. Keep an eye on him.
All right, hold on. We can't let you guys go without talking about Elias Pettersson, or of course, as you named him last year, Donnie, 11.6. Now, I think it's been... Yeah.
Oh, I got a new name for him.
Well, okay, we can get into that. I do think it's been fairly quiet around Pettersson so far in training camp. Now, he'll play tonight, so maybe, you know, I'm sure the microscope will be out for his performance in preseason game one for him. But I guess I'm curious to hear your new nickname, because I was going to ask Don, like, what does he have to do in your eyes to shed the 11.6 nickname from last year?
Well, play better than he did in the second half last year. Produce a little bit more. I mean, one goal in 13 playoff games, and when you're making that kind of money, I'm sorry, the expectations. Go up, and I've said this a lot on your station, as a matter of fact. But when Rick Tocchet, near the end of last season, or for much of the last half of the season, talked about needing that guy making all that money, or who was going to be making all that money, having to move his feet more, that's kind of scary. That's such a basic thing, and I think so. Forget the stats for a second. He starts doing that, or gets back to doing that. That's the number one goal that you're looking for with him. That was alarming when he said that. And by the way, the nickname is his given first name is actually Frederick.
Frederick.
So in honor of F. Murray Abraham, who won a Best Actor Oscar for his role in Amadeus, F. Elias Pettersson.
Frederick. Just say Frederick. Elias Pettersson.
But that's not like the actor.
Initial at the start of any is big. F. Elias Pettersson.
Have you tried?
It might not catch on, but.
Have you tried?
It might catch on for the wrong reasons, Donnie.
Donnie, have you thought about.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you thought about saying Thatcher Demko's injury to the tune of Amadeus? Have you thought about that?
You have to do it now.
Popliteus, Popliteus.
Yeah, Falco.
There you go, right?
There we go.
It'll be stuck in your head all day.
I think F. Elias Pettersson has a better chance of catching on than that. Right?
And I think this is our cue to wrap things up for the week. Guys, it's a blast. I'm excited to be doing this again. Thank you. We'll chat next week.
Awesome, guys.
Adios.
Next Wednesday.
Adios.
Good to be back with
that
you, gentlemen.
Is Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal. Of course, you can catch them Monday to Friday, 10 to noon, on Donnie and Dolly on Czech TV. And with us for the crossover every Wednesday, Dhaliwal on Halford and Brough on here on Sportsnet 650 on Friday mornings, and I believe Don does Canuck Central on Mondays with Sat and Reach. So,
I
friends of the station.
Yeah, Pettersson needed to move his feet more in the playoffs, much like Hall of Fame player Joe Thornton.
I love that he went back to the well for the Marc-Andre Fleury one, which, to be fair, is not as extreme as Gretzky, but he was like, yeah, why not? It's my birthday. I can do whatever I want. I can throw out any player comp right now.
Totally.
No one can get mad at me. All right. We'll take a break. Lots more to get into. The Canucks play in Abbotsford tonight, so we can look ahead to that one. Maybe play a little bit of audio. No talking, though. Adam Foote was the designated member of the coaching staff speaking to the media out in Abbotsford. And then, of course, Jason Bukala joins us at 1. More Canucks talk coming up here. Sportsnet 650.
This is your home of the Canucks.
Hi, this is Elias Pettersson, and you're listening to the official home of the Canucks.
Pettersson, one timer, he scores! Elias Pettersson tees it up for the right circle. The Canucks have their third power play goal of the game.
Sportsnet 650.
Hey there, it's your friends from Toyota. We see you checking out that all-new Tacoma, dreaming about your next fishing trip. Just you, the great outdoors, and enough gear to make the fish sweat. It's time to stop dreaming about that new Toyota and start driving one. Lease a 2024 Tacoma 4x4 double cab SR5 from $129 weekly for 60 months at 7.79% with $5,100 down. Visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer today.
De Beers took control of 90% of the worldwide supply of natural diamonds in 1891.
133 years ago.
And now De Beers has been sold. Jewelers worldwide are worried about what's going to happen next.
But our reputation for always paying cash on the spot makes Spence Diamonds a favorite customer of diamond mines and diamond cutting houses all over the world.
That's why we're not worried, and you shouldn't be either.
You have Spence, and Spence has Fiona.
Spence. Woo! located in Vancouver and Langley.
What are we going to do with all this inventory?
We don't want to move it to the new place.
We're moving to a new place?
Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell you.
Siwash Sports is moving, and everything is on sale. See the great deals on rifles, shotguns, ammo, optics, accessories, and more. They'd rather sell it than move it into their new massive location on Young Road. The moving sale, on now at the Fraser Valley's Siwash Sports. In Chilliwack and online at siwashsports.ca.
Bruv, I think it's time I made some life changes.
What, like practicing yoga or something?
No, like upgrading my ride with Pacific Honda. They have the safest, most reliable cars on the road with driver assist features.
Yeah, that does seem easier than yoga.
Well, Pacific Honda does work with their customers to ensure balance and flexibility, from sales to maintenance and everything in between.
So they are like yoga.
Pacific Honda, North Vancouver's premier destination for Honda vehicle sales and service. Online at pacifichonda.ca.
Ready to build some money muscle? At Coast Capital, we're finding ways to help you get paid more. Our new Elevate checking account has the banking features you want. Plus, comes with free access to Coursera's online training that could help advance your career. That's Ash studying negotiation, and Cody's learning the latest in AI. The potential outcome? More income! Switch to Elevate checking today. Plus, for a limited time, new Coast Capital members can get up to $600. Conditions and limitations apply. Come on, team, let's feel the earn!
After a relaxing day of checking off my fall to-do list at London Drugs, I get to relax some more with this new foot spa. Indulge in some Swiss chocolate and listen to my spa-inspired playlist on these new headphones. London Drugs, where checking off fall to-dos feels good. Shop for deals in-store and online at londondrugs.com.
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Would you mind waiting until you're home to use your foot spa?
Right.
As fall approaches and birds head south, a different kind of bird emerges, the Subaru. While migratory flocks seek warmth, Subaru's symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive keeps drivers soaring through the wild. During the migrating season, Subaru's hunger for adventure grows exponentially, driving the intrigued radio listeners to fall for Subaru at their local Subaru dealerships, experiencing an adventure of their own. So migrate to your local Subaru dealership to book a test drive today.
Everyone loves an easy call. Like getting more for less. Or avoiding Highway 1 during rush hour. Or banking with Van City. They give a share of profits back to their members and community. And take care of your financial needs. Like waiving first year annual fees on all Visa cards. Join over 500,000 members at Van City and be a financial force for change. It's an easy call. Visa terms and conditions apply.
A delicious new deal is at Tim's. $3 for a classic breakfast sandwich when you buy any size hot or iced coffee. You heard that right. Just $3 for a classic breakfast sandwich with Canada's favorite coffee. Terms apply. See app for details.
It's time for
PC Optimum More Days are here. That means more deals, more value, more offers, more bacon, more orange juice, more cookies. More
get great deals like PC Frozen Fruit for just $3.49 per bag until September 25th. Open the PC Optimum app to find your exclusive More Days offers.
Here I come!
Sportsnet, your ultimate hockey destination.
They score!
With more matchups than anywhere else, including Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey and Hockey Night in Canada. With in-depth analysis on Hockey Central, plus live stream games even on the go with the Sportsnet app.
What a move!
The puck drops October 8th. Dive into the action with Sportsnet. Here for hockey.
Here I come!
Every hit, shot, save, and goal. Listen to Alpine Credits Canucks Hockey live on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Canucks and Flames.
We've got the game tonight at 7.
Hey, 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 hey.
On your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drance live from the Kintec studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more products, more awesome details at dunbarlumber.com. Mike texts in, does Rick just burst up, blurt out syllables? I think that is the case. Yes, that's pretty much the process for hard-to-pronounce names for Rick Dhaliwal.
Syllables and scoops. That's what he blasts out, our good friend Rick Dhaliwal. How good is it to be back up and running?
It's great.
Like, as this week goes through and we go through all these first milestones of, like, getting back into rhythm, and it's like, first crossover, first Books hit a little bit later today, whiteboards. Like, man, I love this show. It's good to be back with you, buddy.
All right. You're getting emotional here.
No, I love this show. It's so much fun.
It's great, and it feels like fall and all that. Feels like hockey, right, with the rain right now. Well, so like, it's just like, Getting back in the saddle, you know what I mean?
Text messages, roasting Dhaliwal in the inbox, like, it just feels right. Just feels like home.
All right.
You're right, I'm getting emotional.
I wasn't expecting this to go this deep in this segment, but sure, I'm glad you feel that way, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's sick.
That's great. It's like,
I love you, man.
I was going to say, did you ever listen to the first Tenacious D album? Growing up,
of course,
the skit where Jack tells Kyle that he loves him, and then Kyle's like super awkward about it. Like, oh, I like you.
Remember skits on CDs?
Do I ever?
Man, like hip hop CDs, Tenacious D,
mostly hip hop,
Jerky Boys.
Yeah, it never really crossed over. Like, Tenacious D is a comedy act, so it makes sense.
Sure,
it never really crossed over to
rock.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of rock albums with skits on them. They should try it though.
I'm in. I'm here for it.
Okay, enough of that.
Can you imagine, like, the Tragically Hip track 7? It's just like
the new Vampire Weekend album. Bunch of skits.
Yeah, that whole thing's a joke.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow, we're gonna throw hands after.
Over Vampire Weekend.
Weekend. Okay. You don't like Vampire Weekend? Wow.
I mean, it's fine.
Are you even like a late 30s Mount Pleasant dweller?
I am, actually.
If you don't like Vampire Weekend?
Not consistent enough.
All right. Okay. Tonight, as mentioned, Canucks playing in Abbotsford against the Calgary Flames, the dominant preseason Calgary Flames.
Sorry, you're not going to list other Mumford & Sons knockoffs that you,
enjoy?
Dude,
they predate Mumford & Sons. What are you talking about? That's a horrible, horrible music take right there.
Wow, you're going to have a Mumphisode?
That doesn't even make sense.
A Mumphisode is when you have an episode.
Sure, relating to Mumford & Sons? Okay. Whatever you say.
Sorry. The loaded Calgary Flames.
Yeah.
No,
well, I don't know if
really.
They're loaded tonight, but they're on a heater to start the preseason. Beat the Oilers in both halves of a split squad game.
Okay.
Big test. Big test for the Canucks out in Abbotsford. No. There was an optional skate today in Abbotsford, so we don't have the lines, but we do have the roster per the Canucks. They've announced who's going to be there. And, you know, previously advertised Hughes, Pettersson, DeBrusque, Lekkomäki, they're all slated to play. In terms of the newcomers, Kiefer Sherwood, Vincent Desharnais, also expected to make their kind of Canucks preseason debuts. And then in terms of guys who played last night and are going to play again today, of course, Lekkomäki's in that group. Atu Ratu coming off a strong performance. Same with Linus Karlsson coming off a strong performance. Max Sasson, Sammy Blais on the PTO, and Christian Wolanin on the blue line, all playing on the back-to-back. So for Lekkomäki, we don't know the line combinations, right, because they did the optional skate. But you would expect that he'll be back with Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusque, where he spent all training camp with. I do think it's interesting for Atu Ratu, because he was with Garland and Hoglander all camp, right, and in the scrimmage, and then last night as well, and it's been really strong. But that's also a really, really good spot for him to be with two well-qualified NHL wingers. They're not playing tonight.
And kind of drivers.
Yeah, like good players, really good players.
I thought... So Hoglander didn't have a shot on goal, but I thought he was one of Vancouver's best players. Garland obviously was in the middle of it, doing Connor Garland stuff as always. But I really like the look of those two together. It seems
Garland and Hoglander.
Yeah, it seems so annoying. Just like two guys, relentless, low center of gravity, smart enough to punish mistakes, good enough defensively that they're in position. Like, I don't know. I kind of just think it works, but I also am skeptical that Tockett would actually play them together given the size thing, the size storyline there.
Get Aturatu there. Bring that heavy element.
Now, did you
balance
notice,
things out a little bit?
Did you notice there was one sequence, I think it was late in the first, so the Canucks are breaking the puck out, and Hoglander hooks into that middle along the blue line, and then hit Connor Garland with a back pass. Did you notice this?
Yeah.
Do you actually know what I'm talking about?
I believe so.
Okay. So that was the breakout I was talking about. Right? Hoglander had time and was far enough ahead that he made a skill play as opposed to doing the deflection.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the only time I saw or it clocked that like landmark off the rush was executed the way that Tockett would want it. Or at least the way that they practiced it in camp. I would bet that Tockett clocked that prominently
mm-hmm.
and was pretty excited.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, we were talking about Nils Hoglander.
You okay? Everything
very
okay?
Professional for my cell phone to go off in the middle of a segment there. That's awesome. Anyways, we were talking about it yesterday on the show, Nils Hoglander, right? And it feels like he's going through this evolution of not just being, you know,
Do you need to get that?
No, I do not. You're not going to believe this, but it was spam.
I do believe that.
99% of phone calls that I get are, in fact, spam.
Do you know those spam calls you get where you say hello and then nothing happens?
And there's just, like, silence.
And you know that it's spam, but, like... You still sort of answer.
But then you start yelling hello into the
hello, hello, and then they're finally like, "Your family member has been kidnapped, and you need to give us your credit card information now." And it's like, "Jeez, customs has intercepted some package.
Yeah, you're going to jail.
Yeah, you are, unless you hand over all your personal." Anyway, I find that second moment where I'm like, oh, "Am I really gonna have to say it again?" And then I invariably do. Hello, I hate that.
See, I just don't answer the phone.
Yeah, smart.
It's a great solution. And sometimes I get spam voicemails.
I'm just always worried that I haven't saved someone's contact.
Mm. Well, you talk to way more people than I do. Like, you have contacts all around the league and stuff. And that
I spend a lot of time on the phone.
Yeah, that you feel like you probably have to answer.
I do.
I don't have any phone calls that I have to answer. It's great.
That must be lovely.
It's really nice.
Hello?
Anyways, with Nils Hoglander, I feel like he's going through this evolution from... you know, bottom six energy guy who can pop you a goal to a more trusted member of the team, right? And like with the fitness conversation, with the structure conversation, you know, his ability to drive play, all of that, I think that's going to be a big part of this season for the Canucks is how much of a bigger role can he carve out, right? Because it's crowded. Now we'll see if like the Danton Heinen and the on the first line thing, how long that lasts, all of those things, how long Dakota Joshua is out. There could still be spots, but in general, there's going to be a pretty heavy competition for those minutes. And I think Nils Hoglander right now is like putting his best foot forward and to claim a big share of those minutes.
I find it difficult to imagine, given what Hoglander has accomplished at his age, right? At the ages of 20, 21, 22, 23. I find it difficult to imagine that some of the like that a Danton Heinen, who, you know, I think is going to be a really good two-way piece for mm-hmm. for Vancouver, but I struggle to imagine that he's got more like offensive upside than a player like Hoglander. That said, you know, Hoglander does have to close the gap, right, for that to matter, like mm-hmm. in terms of the two-way side of it. You know, that I think there is sort of work to do in terms of Hoglander making it so that Heinen's like reach and defensive reliability doesn't outweigh what Hoglander can contribute, you know, with his quick hands as a finisher, as a rush attacker. But, you know, seeing him execute like a new staple, right? Get hit that landmark, execute mm-hmm. that play last night. Like I clocked that play as an important one, not just because I was explicitly looking to see how much different the Canucks looked off the rush from an X's and O's perspective, but also because it was him. Like, it was the guy whose sort of knock against him has been that ability to earn trust
yep.
on the way, including, by the way, into the postseason last year, right? Like, it's not like that's a thing that's completely in the past. He was scratched during the playoffs. Like, this is still an active thing for him to work on or overcome, as it were, in carving out that bigger role. But, you know, I saw it as a sign of maturity, a sign that, you know, he can do it.
And I think the key is that it's not that he has to become as good defensively as Danton Heinen, but it's just that, like, he has to go from, right now it's always like, well, he's good offensively, but can you really trust him in key minutes in the top six? And just make, you don't have to be a defensive ace, but can you at least eliminate the idea that you're a liability, right? Mm-hmm. That if you're in that position, it's like, hey, maybe it's not our choice in, like, you know, the final 2 minutes of a game when we're holding on to a lead, but he can take a regular shift against other good players, and it's not a liability out there. It's not something that's dragging us down, right?
Or,
that's the,
or at least
that's
in,
the next step.
Or at least you stay when the bench shortens to three lines.
You stay in the mix.
That still includes you in a neutral script, at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it's tied. Yeah, look, I think he's going to get there. I genuinely believe that. But you know, I do think it's worth us sort of noting and tracking that as progress,
mm-hmm.
given where he's coming from during the Boudreaux years, but also, you know, his usage in the postseason last year.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. As you said, it's not just like a Boudreaux era thing, right?
No.
It was as recently as the last games they were playing that actually counted, it was still a factor.
But man, he's good. Like, as much as we talk about the sort of performances of the guys who weren't on this roster last night coming out of, or sorry, last night, last year coming out of the preseason debut, like, I think he needs to, we need to work to include the unsexy names in our consideration set. And to me, he looks massively improved and did last night as well.
Well, if you're just talking about players that could most impact this Canucks season in some way, like, he's way more likely to play a big role than Auntie Ratu or Lekkomäki.
Right.
And again, it's not the sexiest thing, but him leveling up, him hitting that new level could be a much bigger deal than, you know, Auntie Ratu making the team as the 12th forward. Now, that would still be a big deal, I think, in and of itself. But you're right. The fact that he is a no-doubt-about-it guy on the roster, a no-doubt-about-it NHL forward, they tend to almost become afterthoughts. But they can still improve. They can still do things differently. They can still climb up the pecking order of the team.
Especially when they're 23, with a pretty impressive sort of history of production through their early 20s. Like, this is his first year in what we typically think of as his statistical prime, right? So, you know, that's notable, right? Like, he wouldn't be the first guy his age to take a significant leap forward at this stage of his career.
So in terms of the roster that they're sending tonight, is it still just the, you know, the Lekkomäki and then the center battle, right? Ratu, Sasson, I think the Nathan Smith name, which is pretty off the radar, but one that fans should take note of, is playing tonight.
I don't think it should be as off the radar as all that, because he's right-handed.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's impactful. The team doesn't have right-handed centermen. And so, and that's something that I guarantee keeps any coach up at night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's something that, you know, when he's staring at the whiteboard and thinking about his options, Rick Tocchet is very conscious of. And by the way, it's something that I would expect if this team reaches their expectations in the first 45 games of the year, 50 games of the year, they're not going to go into the playoffs without.
No. And it seems like almost like a lock that they
a
will.
Lock.
And whether it's third line center or like 13th forward that can draw in to take draws or something like that, they're going to add depth in that area if they're on track for the playoffs.
Yeah. Absolute stone cold lock. The Canucks will add a right-handed centerman if they think they have a shot. For sure.
Yeah, it's one of the obvious holes, or at least the, I don't even want to call it a hole necessarily, but just like the things you need to address on this roster right now as they go into the season. So is it, who are you most focused on tonight? Still Lekkomäki? Ratu? What? Pedersen, first look at him, right? Like, who are you
locked
in on?
Not an established vet. Pedersen's going to be finding his hands, finding his feet. That's fine.
Baines, I should throw in there.
Yeah.
That's his first preseason action.
I mean, this is an important one for Baines, right? Like, Baines, you saw sort of Lekkomäki take his shot, Ratu take his shot, and I think Linus Karlsson had a really strong game himself, too. And then Sammy Blais, even if, like, they're looking at him as a guy who needs to get faster, and he's getting some of that Dakota Joshua tough love, right? That doesn't, I don't think, mean that he's out of the mix yet.
No.
And again, I thought he looked faster than I expected. I think it's sort of relative to expectations again, right? He looked to me like a guy who can get there still. So Baines has to answer that, right? Because it's not enough to like be improving. You have to be passing guys. You have to be taking quantum leaps forward if you're going to force your way into an NHL lineup. Like that's the cruelty of this league. That's how difficult it is to be an NHL player. And, you know, Baines has some sort of serves to answer here, right? Like he's got some volleys that he's going to have to return if he's going to not just like stay in the mix, but climb over some guys that, you know, we think are ahead of him, including, you know, Sprong and Heinen and on. I mean, his team brought in a lot of bodies to compete.
Well, I'll give you an example of that need to constantly be taking those next steps. Jet Wu, right, who's gone through a whole host of like permutations as a Canucks prospect and the way he's viewed. But like as recently as last training camp, you know, they were trying out Cole McWard next to Quinn Hughes. And it was like, hey, could Jet Wu get some games next to Quinn Hughes in the NHL?
And then he went -7 in the first preseason game.
Yeah, that hurt.
So that's actually the subplot tonight. It's the Jet Wu revenge game against the Calgary,
against the Calgary Flames. But my buddy texted me today. He was like, is Jet Wu even with the team? Like, nobody's talking about him. And it's like, yeah, now there's Elias Pettersson. Now there's Sawyer Mineo. Now there's Kirill Kucherov, right? Like, all of a sudden, he's not a shiny new thing because there's always that next wave of guys coming up to try to take your spot.
Yeah, I mean, Jet Wu was on a pair with the Canucks main group alongside Akito Hirose. And it's just like, I think if we see a lot of Jet Wu this season, which is possible, like it's possible because one thing about Wu is he can play the left side comfortably. So he's versatile enough to fill in anywhere. And he is a physical player, right? Like he's a big hitter, a big assertive defensive defenseman. So I mean, at the very least, you could see him playing like template Rick Tocchet hockey, right? So I'm not going to say that it's like cataclysmic. Something cataclysmic has happened to the Canucks defense. If we see Jet Wu, I think we could see Jet Wu, but you know, he'd have to play awfully well early on in the year. Yeah. And the Hirose thing, I mean, I wrote this at The Athletic this week. I'll just bring it up quickly here. When you're on a one-way contract as an American League player, you become someone to watch in my mind because this Canucks team. So this applies to both Guillaume Brisebois and Akito Hirose, who are on one way, so guaranteed NHL salaries regardless of where they play. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with waiver exempt status, by the way. That's NHL franchise mode and nowhere else. In the was that on air?
No.
Okay. What one thing that we saw the Canucks do last year, Jack Stadnica and Jack Rathbone. Mm-hmm. When you fall out of this team's NHL plans, this management group's NHL plans, with a one-way contract, you definitely need to be on watch to be included in a deal.
All right, introducing Seeker, Canada's new free app for your ears. Dive into live radio, captivating podcasts, the latest news and sports updates, all in one place, whether you're rediscovering music, debating last night's game, or laughing along with your favorite DJs. Seeker has you covered. Plus, there are some of the best prizes in the country up for grabs. It's all here in one easy-to-use app. Download Seeker for free from the App Store or Google Play. Seeker, seek your sounds, find the radio, podcast, news, and sports you love. Jason Buchla next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jack 96.9, playing the hits of the 80s, 90s, and more.
Yeah, that means you might hear this. 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 Where the streets have no name. And even this. I like the way you work it. No, baby, no. Jack 96.9. Check us out today on your radio, the Radio Player app, or on your smart speaker. Just tell it to play Jack 96.9 Vancouver.
Hey Vancouver, is your business, school, or sports team looking to turn heads with custom apparel? Meet Threadco Print Shop, your go-to destination for screen printing and embroidery. At Threadco, they're more than just another print shop. They bring your design to life at their brand new state-of-the-art facility in South Vancouver. With over two decades of experience, Threadco specializes in delivering a seamless experience for all your custom apparel decoration. Experience the Threadco advantage today. Visit their showroom or connect with them at threadcoprint.com.
Finding the right mortgage broker shouldn't be stressful. With over 30 years of experience, Jason Hominick is passionate about connecting you with the best possible solution.
Jason, what's the difference between a broker and a bank?
The bank's goal is to make money off of you. My job is to make sure that they don't take you to the woodshed. I'm Jason Hominick from Jason.Mortgage. Let's talk. I'll shop over 100 lenders to find you the best mortgage option.
Visit Jason.Mortgage.
Wait, not .ca?
No, it's Jason.Mortgage. Visit today.
I'm Adrienne Gear, president of the BC Nurses Union. Nurses know some cuts don't heal. Privatization and slashing healthcare budgets will put the lives of our loved ones at risk. BC needs to continue investing in public healthcare to ensure you and your loved ones have access to the safe patient care we all deserve. On October 19th, vote like your health depends on it.
Authorized by the BC Nurses Union. Registered sponsor under the Election Act. 604-433-2268.
Welcome, everyone, to our housewarming party. We just wanted to thank those who helped us get here. First, Tony, our amazing realtor. Also, Susan with the market forecasts. Isaac and Gurpreet for the historic sales data. Maylin in MLS. Jordan in professional standards. Anya. Sarah. The Michaels, both L and P.
Behind every purchase or sale, there's a team of realtors and brokers. And behind that team, there's us. The Greater Vancouver Realtors, the people who support the people who do real estate.
Maxine, Claire, almost done. Brianne, Micah, Alex.
Mondays on City TV.
My heart is racing.
Life moves forward.
It's a scene I've seen so many times.
Love finds a way.
And this time, it's me.
It's Jones time.
I am greeting the next love of my life.
For another chance at love.
I'm not scared anymore. I'm ready for the journey to begin.
The Golden Bachelorette. All new. Mondays 8, 7 Central on City TV or stream it on City TV Plus.
De Beers took control of 90% of the worldwide supply of natural diamonds in 1891.
133 years ago.
And now De Beers has been sold. Jewelers worldwide are worried about what's going to happen next.
But our reputation for always paying cash on the spot makes Spence Diamonds a favorite customer of diamond mines and diamond cutting houses all over the world.
That's why we're not worried, and you shouldn't be either.
You have Spence. And Spence has Fiona.
Spence. Wow! Located in Vancouver and Langley.
When it comes to online gambling, you could bet with PlayNow, or you could bet on my illegal gambling site instead. Because when you do, I get to spend your money on things like auto-tune instead of things that benefit BC. Because I don't care.
Play on PlayNow instead. BC's only local, legal, and secure gambling site for 20 years. Sign up and get a casino welcome bonus up to $150 at playnow.com/bonus. Conditions apply. Must be 19 plus to play. If you gamble, use your game sense.
Kale or lettuce? Hairspray or gel? Fill up or top up on gas? No matter what you choose, earn more points on every purchase with the PC Insider's World Elite MasterCard, the credit card that rewards you with the most PC Optimum points ever. Get 1,100 in average value every year and make every purchase more rewarding. Apply today at pcfinancial.ca. Conditions apply. Visit website for full details.
Don't miss the number 5 Orange Canucks Central postgame show. Sat and Bick break down all the action with expert analysis, postgame interviews, and fan debates. Only on Sportsnet 650.
Tune in Saturday on Sportsnet 650 for the Sport Market, powered by Pastime Sports and Games. Saturdays starting at 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
CISL Vancouver is Sportsnet 650, the official home of the Canucks. Listen live online at sportsnet650.ca or download the podcasts and don't miss a minute.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd. It's Thomas Drantz. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at dleamc.com. You know what I realized? I haven't been crediting you as also working at The Athletic. What have I been doing? Of course, he also covers the team for The Athletic, Thomas Drantz.
Violating my contract.
I am, yes. I've been putting this whole operation in jeopardy. by neglecting my contractual duties.
The whole operation in jeopardy. I think we'll be all right.
So there you go. He also covers the team for The Athletic. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. We're coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And now joining us, one of our favorites here on the show. He's going to be back every Wednesday on Canucks Talk at this time. From Sportsnet and a former NHL scout, he is Jason Bukala. Books, what's going on, man? How was your summer?
Summer was short. I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know what? It's kind of trying to hang on here in Southern Ontario. So it's, you know, it's not too bad. But I hate winter, fellas. I'm not going to lie. I like to come to the left coast, even if it's raining in the winter, just to get away from the snow. So
well, you're always welcome. Yeah. Come in, drop in. It would be great.
So I've lived 10 years in Ontario. I've lived most of my life in Vancouver. I also spent 3 years in Florida. Vancouverites are convinced that our winter weather is better because it's more mild than it is in Ontario. But Books, let me tell you something, man. When you get to like week six of gray skies,
yes,
because it's cold in Ontario, but at least you get clear skies. You know what I mean? Like at least you get sunshine.
Yeah,
it's debatable.
And you know what? So I'm from the north. I'm from Sudbury originally. We get sunshine up there. Crisp, cold, sunny winters. Like, yeah, they're brutal. Mm. But actually, they're not. They were a lot of fun when I was young, but they're more brutal, you know, as I get old. But down here in London where I live, we're caught between the lakes, so I get all that gray. It's like Finland down here in the London area. And you know what they do in Finland in the wintertime when they, you know, they're bored? They do a lot of, you know, chugging of some bevies just to keep their wits about them. So that's how it feels in Southern Ontario sometimes in the dead of winter.
I did a stint in Montreal. So you're talking like, you know, minus 30 around there sometimes. And it, like, I get what you're saying, Drance, but I think I would still take the mild and wet and gray, which is officially that time of year here in Vancouver, by the way.
I just think it's a personal preference. I don't think it's like a clear winner. You know what I mean? Like in this argument, I'm always in the middle. That's just how I see it.
All right.
No, the winner's Florida. We won.
The winner is clearly Florida, to be clear.
That's pretty obvious. All right.
January suntan tan line or sunglasses tan line. That's what it's about, Books.
Exactly. I hear you, buddy.
All right. Let's get into the Canucks, Books. So Jonathan Lekker-Mackey, you know, one of the team's top prospects, if not clearly the top prospect, and a lot of hype for him coming into training camp. He's, you know, he spends all of camp alongside Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk, has a pretty good showing last night, and all of a sudden, maybe something that seemed like a bit of a pipe dream, the idea of him making the team is slowly starting to seem a little bit more real. What are your impressions of Lekker-Mackey and his chances of actually being an NHL player to start the season?
So I was waiting for him to kind of slow down a little bit coming out of the Young Stars weekend, where he was really good. Obviously, you guys, I'm sure I've talked about it a lot, handled the puck, you know, played to his identity, created offense. And then last night, fellas, he was really good. It's undeniable that he was very good last night. So what stands out to me are a couple of things. First of all, puck patience. Like, he handles it on the flank, whether it's even on his strong side, whether it's, you know, even strength or on the power play. You know, when he was playing up top on the power play, kind of a left D, it's kind of like a slide on the left side there, but he's got patience, right? He's like, he's bringing a check to him and he's making puck plays. Even at even strength, he's observing what's available all over the ice, and he's not just chipping it down low and hoping that a one-on-one battle with a teammate is going to extend a play. He's making plays. And the where he was a year and a half ago to where he is now, I would even suggest a year ago to where he is now, he's average plus defensively, but I was really watching that closely last night even, and his zone exits were on time. Like, he wasn't waiting when they didn't have possession. You know, he wasn't, you know, well, maybe we'll get it back type of thing. I really like this game. I think it's trending in a very positive direction. He's not alone, and it's not going to be easy, but I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if he breaks camp with this team. He's got momentum right now.
Books, the Canucks might have a vacancy short term up front with Dakota Joshua out indefinitely. We don't know when he'll be back. Rick Tocchet's implied that it won't be too long, but it does seem like there might be a custom made window of opportunity for a young player, whether it's a Aturatu or a Lekaramaki, to sort of get a look if they can sort of win this job outright over the balance of the preseason. What are some of the advantages? What are some of the things that teams have to be aware of from a player development perspective in deciding whether or not to start a player in the NHL, knowing that, you know, hey, look, this might only be a 2 or 3 week stint?
Yeah, you know what? Not knowing how Joshua is going to respond, you know, obviously we know what, with his health where it is, but he's not going to have a full run at training camp. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to get back into it. And as you guys know, like the game out of the blocks is very fast. Like the track meet occurs, for my liking, the most between October and just after Christmas, let's say. Okay, yep. Like that's when the league is played at its fastest. Then bodies start to break down. Then, you know, coaches start to tweak things. It gets a little bit more physical, as we know, in the back half of the year, and you start trending towards playoffs. So having said all of that, I've got a couple of tiers to my answer. The first 10-game segment, it's imperative. I don't care if you're a good team or otherwise. You have to get off to a good start. Like, you know, 6-4 would be, 7-3 would be optimal. Anything above that is a bonus. 6-4 would be where the Canucks are, you know, in their organizational model right now. They have to be on the right side of it for sure, because this is a good team. So who gives you the best chance early? How do you want to identify as a team early? Because Aturatu, he's not fleet of foot, but it looks to me now that he's capable of skating at NHL pace consistently. And I'm talking about a guy that's going to play between 10 and 12 minutes, potentially more depending if they need some secondary scoring. But let's say at the bottom of the lineup, guys, he's got the size, he's got the meat, he's got some jam, right? Like he's starting to play that way, like Rick Tocchet kind of a way. So is that what you need at the bottom? Or do you, you know, plug in a Lekaramaki because you want to make sure that, you know, we're going to capitalize on his offense early in the season, which he looks like he's earning that opportunity to camp. How does it affect the development? Ideally, to be perfectly clear, these guys both need time, and it's going to be almost like a ping pong type of situation. It's great that Abbotsford is right there. They can all train and, you know, they're all kind of close by and are under close watch. But I don't know that you're going to hurt either player either way. I think that the entire organization is buying into towing the rope in the same direction. And strategically, it just comes down to what the coach wants.
How much does it help Lekaramaki that so much of what the Canucks have talked about and Rick Tocchet has talked about so far has been an emphasis on scoring off the rush and a little bit more offensive creativity? And it feels like, you know, whereas last year at this time it was all about defensive structure, this year it's much more focused on that rush element, and that just happens to be one of, you know, Lekaramaki's best skills as a prospect. Is that the kind of thing, just that new team emphasis that could kind of maybe just move the needle slightly and push him from maybe going to Abbotsford to all of a sudden getting a chance on the team?
I think so. I think that's exactly kind of what I'm talking about in terms of, you know, that going north quickly and getting pucks to the net aggressively and you know, driving play. I do believe that. Now, Lekaramaki, between the blue lines, there are going to be moments that he's a real good play driver. There's going to be moments like that. But most of the time, he's going to be a guy, for me anyways, that you want to have receive the puck in motion off a zone entry. So somebody else drives a defender back, if you will, and he comes secondary. And then, you know, the puck gets to the net off after that. You know, your weak side forward's probably net drive, and you know, you're making plays around the crease. So, but to your point, you know, yeah, that's exactly what the coach, it seems like a lot of these, I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but a lot of coaches around the league are talking that way right now. It's every year there's like this thing that the coaches like, that coach speak. And right now it's going like driving north, going north, you know, and it's already a fast game. Lekaramaki fits the mold offensively, great puck touch, rips pucks. This guy will rip pucks from the strong side and the weak side. And yeah, he fits that mold. So maybe he's the guy.
With Aturatu in particular, Books, we're seeing a guy who, you know, maybe added half a step, maybe a full step to his skating stride. Club is intent on keeping him at center, and provided that he's winning 14 of the 18 draws that he's tasked with, I'd think they'll have a lot of patience with that experiment. What's the impact of a big summer when you're a 21-year-old, you know, high pedigree guy as a teenager, miserable draft year, has sort of almost become like the unsexy name, the forgotten man among Canucks prospects for Canucks fans and media commentators. But what's the impact for a big summer for a player at his stage of development?
Huge, huge. So whatever the takeaway was, a player, or pardon me, a development camp after the draft, you know, you have to, that takeaway, the takeaway is only as good as how much work you put into whatever that is. So when they give you the homework at the end of development camp to go away, and clearly with him, it's been his skating, because he's a point of game guy in the American League last year, right? I think 23 tucks. And, you know, he can produce offense. There's no question he can produce offense at the pro level. He is now on the cusp of being a tweener at the NHL level in the middle of the lineup, secondary scorer. So I think he feels it kind of, he must have had a great development camp. He must have been in communication, but he's put the work in. But I will say this, and I think you guys would agree, like that line last night with Holander in the middle, like, is this guy, did he test the best? Correct me if I'm wrong. He tested the best. He looks like he's ready to go. Like, he is playing fast. He's doing everything that he always kind of did before, but even better. Like, it looks like he's launched to another level. So I kind of felt like that group last night complemented each other quite a bit, because Carlson is a taller, kind of a semi-tall guy, but he needs strength, right? Like, he's got the stick. You can see when he gets to the edge, he can't quite get there. But those other two guys really complemented each other. Whatever Ratu took away in the summertime, he's definitely put the work in. And that stood out to me last night, because Holander clearly had a great offseason, and I felt that they complemented each other.
Yeah, Hoglander's another one where, because he's been around a bit, you know, it feels like he's familiar, and then you sort of think about it further, and it's like, okay, this guy's doesn't turn 24 until December, and, you know, has scored at like a 19 goal per 82 game pace in his age 20 through 23 seasons. What do you think? Is it too late for him to break out further?
No, Books? No, he's ready to break out further. This kid didn't get a chance on the power play last year, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in playoffs, he was a healthy for a game or two, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, no, I think he's highly motivated. I think that there's an opportunity for him to be a 25 guy. I really do. I believe that he's got that in him. He's got the drive. He's got the will. You know, he's got the B game, guys. And I've said this about 10 times in the last couple of weeks on different radio, like Sportsnet radio. He's got the B game. So he's playing fast. He's playing smart. He really is. Like, he's tracking back. He does. And he competes hard. Like, he really does. Like, he below the goal line, he's built like a fire hydrant. We know that. But he's there, and he's in the fight. And I think he can get to that number. It's going to be, you know, curious. He needs opportunity. There's only one puck. And you got some, you know, you bring DeBrusk in, you know, Sprong's a shooter. Like, Sprong's an under-the-radar guy that can really produce offense, especially, I believe, on special teams. So, you know, there's only going to be one opportunity to be on the second unit. How much ice time they get, I don't know. I'm curious. But I think this kid's just I don't want to say scraping the surface, because he's already done it a little bit, but I think there's another level.
Well, that point about the B game for Hoglander is really interesting, Books, because, you know, as recently as last season, Andrance and I were talking about this a little earlier in the show, right? He scores 24 goals, but he also really struggled in the playoffs and was a scratch in the playoffs. So I think even as recently as the playoffs, there was this sense within the organization maybe that he didn't have that B game, right? That if he wasn't scoring, they didn't have a lot of use for him. But if he changes that perception, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you don't even need to be scoring 25-plus goals because we like the other things you do, then all of a sudden I think there's a real pathway for him to get, you know, top six-type minutes on this team. And that is the kind of opportunity I think he needs to seize to see his career go to the next level.
I totally agree with that. And coaches like Rick Tocchet, they're going to award a guy who can score at even strength if that B game is relentless. He's going to award guys like that. He's going to give them more opportunity to be thrust in the situation. It's almost like it's an award for, you know, your hard work and your tenacity. I've seen what you've done in other areas to get better. Now I'm going to give you a chance to do this as well. And, you know, coaches, you very quickly become a favorite of your coach when they know they can look down on you or look down at the bench and call your number, and they can trust you coming back from your red line deep. And, I don't know. His fitness looks great. His pace looks great. That's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see how that plays out, because I think there's a real valuable commodity there.
Another prospect that's drawn some attention here, who is definitely, I think, off the radar for a lot of Canucks fans before Penticton, is Vilmer Ulriksson, the big fella, 2023 draft pick, 6'6". And he's such an interesting prospect because there's so many ways to view him, right? Obviously, the physical tools you love. You look at the production in his draft plus 1 year in the OHL, and it certainly doesn't jump off the page. But now Rick Tocchet was really impressed by him. What do you make of Ulriksson, and you know, how hard is it to evaluate a prospect with the physical tools that he has?
Takes time. Absolutely takes time. I mean, you know, you have that 4-year window on prospects when you draft them out of Europe. He came over here and played in Guelph and was drafted in the fourth round over here. Was he drafted 23 in the fourth round?
2023,
right? So, yeah. Yeah, 23 in the fourth round. Came last year to Guelph, and, you know, mid-range numbers, but he's a big body. Like, this guy needs time. His mechanics aren't horrible. He's last night I thought he got around pretty well. John Hayden's been around forever, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And taking on that challenge, John Hayden's a strong guy, like a strong mid-range veteran guy now, and that was impressive. It's going to take time, though. So this is a depth player. I don't know what kind of offense he's ever going to produce, but you know, if he can become Dakota Joshua light, and I mean light, like, you know, that kind of a role where you're extending plays and you're in the fight and you're creating chaos and taking two guys out of a play because of your range in the offensive zone, but making sure that you track back appropriately defensively, you're going to have a chance. He's going to go play in Guelph for Corey Stillman's the new head coach there. And Stiller will push him to get better. That's going to be George Burnett's a longtime GM in Guelph too. So he's going to be surrounded by a really good development model there. And we'll see how it goes, but don't rush that one, fellas. That's going to take time.
Yeah. So watching Ulriksson in Penticton and watching or talking to a variety of the pro scouts on the circuit who watched the tournament was fascinating, Books, because like he'd have these sequences. I have this one entry in my mind where he enters, it's one-on-one against a defender and he's taking them wide. He puts his shoulder into the defender and tries to protect the puck with his right hand, right? And I was just like, oh my God, the leverage that he has on this defender. There's like 7 feet of space that he's created with that frame. And then he loses the puck in the corner. And I'm like, oh man, that's not very good. And then he chases the puck into the corner and like absolutely flattens a defender. And I'm like, oh, well, I like that. And then he misplays the pass back to the point. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And then they still get it. He goes to the net front and he completely overpowers the defender again at the net front. And I'm like, well, what do I even do with this guy? Like in the same sequence, he'll both impress me and make me shake my head 3 times.
Yeah, and that's why it's called player development. I totally get you. it just takes time. But again, so when you're that big, and if you're confronted, like if a defenseman who's, call it 6'2", fronts you and you're 6'6", just the physics of it alone, because your legs are longer and your core is set higher than your opponent, you should be able to leverage up against the guy, right? But the hands and the continuation to make a play. So the way that you're describing that, you know, I'm fine if he bodies off, you know, puck down low off you know, he gets his own entry, he loses it, now you got it again. But we can't, you can't do that 2 or 3 times in a row. Something good has to come out of that originally, or pardon me, eventually, off the cycle down low below the goal line, for example. You can't teach hands, guys. You can't teach puck touch, but you can get better at skating. Competing is a choice, and you can't teach size. So there's something in there. Not sure what it's going to be at the end of the day. We'll see.
Curious, so I want to present this to you because it wasn't just Ulriksson in Penticton. There was also Kieran Walton, a Jets prospect, who I really liked.
Yeah.
Like, I actually thought of the jumbo-sized forwards at Penticton, I'd say Walton maybe popped the most for me. And then there was Hunter Lang, who the Flames selected in 2024, and I'd say he sort of popped the least. But anyway, 3 6'6" forwards at the Young Stars tournament. So I did just like some back of the envelope math here, and I'm curious to get your commentary on it. 20 years ago, okay, in the NHL, 6 NHL forwards listed over 6'5". Those 6 players combined to score 20 goals. 10 years later, so now we're talking about 2013-14, 7 NHL forwards listed over 6'5", but now you've got Martin Hanzel and you've got Nick Bjugstad, and they combined to score 45 goals. Last season, there was 12 guys listed 6'6" or higher. Obviously, Tage Thompson being the headliner here. Yep. And they combined for 115 goals during the 2023-24 campaign. This is like a unicorn player type that is actually pretty new to the league, right? Like the days of Joe Colburn getting stick checked into oblivion seem to have kind of dissipated. Like these tall guys seem to be able to play forward now in a way and play skilled hockey now in a way they couldn't. What are you seeing in terms of the trends towards skyscraper, jumbo sized forward prospects at the NHL level?
Well, even this past draft was full of trees. Like there were some huge, huge players that were drafted. I'm not sure why the cycle is the way it is, but it is producing some bigger players that fit a certain type of category. The issue here is that the game is absolutely it. So when we start, you know, predating, well, we look back 15, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, you know, so there's some outliers like the Tage Thompsons, mm-hmm. and, you know, obviously that's something, but like if I look at the Walton kid, he plays in Sudbury, okay, for the Wolves. And like he was, I think, like a sixth round pick, maybe to win a pick. Mm-hmm. But like I went to track this kid in playoffs, and when the games really got fast and combined with physicality in playoffs, even though he's a big guy, it was like 43 points in 65 regular season games, he didn't score at all in the playoffs, like not a point. Like he had a hard time. So there's going to be a real interesting mix here. It's going to be interesting to see how these kids identify themselves as prospects at the pro level when they arrive. Because to the naked eye, it's always, well, you're big, you better be a power guy. Well, just because you're big, between the years, you might not be programmed that way. So you better have the mechanics to get from A to B, at least extend plays with your reach, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's just, there's something in the water. There's a trend right now towards bigger guys. Coaches love them, especially in the middle of their lineup if they can have them. And if they can produce a little bit of secondary offense, it's a bonus. So I'd be interested for the three of us to circle back on this in a couple of years to see some of these guys arriving and what the trend looks like.
If we're still on the air, Books, we will do just that with you. If they haven't fired us yet in a couple of years, we will do that.
We'll start our own, fellas.
That's right. Problem solved. We'll do it over a beer at the bar if we're off the air by then.
Yes,
Books, appreciate it, man. Can't wait to do this next week and for the rest of the season. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, it's great to catch up with you guys. Looking forward to the year. So thanks again for having me on, and I'll look forward to it.
We love you, Books. Great to have you back.
That is Jason Bukala from Sportsnet, former NHL scout, and joining us here every Wednesday, as he does, on Canucks Talk. Love chatting with Books.
We're back.
This is the most positive I've ever seen you.
We are so
you're
back.
Just feeling
baby.
You're full of love today. It's so unnatural for you.
You're right.
What's going on?
You know what? I haven't been beaten down by the fatigue of the season
I think
yet.
It's the new fleece.
You're right. It's the neon green. Making me feel
can't feel negative in that.
Oh man, I can. I promise you. Give me a month.
All right, we'll take a break. Final segment coming up here. We will do the whiteboard. So we'll get you your headlines looking ahead to tonight's game in Abbotsford. Final segment on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.
We are your home of the Canucks.
Hi, this is JT Miller.
Miller shoots, he scores. JT Miller with a power play goal, and the Canucks double their lead. It's 4-2.
Sportsnet 650.
De Beers took control of 90% of the worldwide supply of natural diamonds in 1891.
133 years ago.
And now De Beers has been sold. Jewelers worldwide are worried about what's going to happen next.
But our reputation for always paying cash on the spot makes Spence Diamonds a favorite customer of diamond mines and diamond cutting houses all over the world.
That's why we're not worried, and you shouldn't be either.
You have Spence, and Spence has Fiona.
Spence.
Wow!
Located in Vancouver and Langley.
This October on Sportsnet.
Did you see that?
Be here for a brand new season. For rivalries.
Wow.
Be here for superstars. Because once the action starts,
here we go.
The excitement is here to stay. October 8th, the puck drops here.
Are you ready?
Sportsnet, here for hockey.
The Nissan Clear Out event is on now, where you can lease the 2024 Ariya Engage from $98 weekly for 24 months with roughly $4,600 in government rebates included. Experience up to 465 kilometers of driving range in the 100% electric Ariya Engage front-wheel drive model for $627 monthly with $2,695 down at 4.99%. Weekly equivalent without government rebate is $145.
Conditions apply. See Nissan.ca or your BC Nissan dealers for details.
Meet Seeker, Canada's new and free app for your ears.
You just won $17,700, Anna.
The frustration of being a Leaf fan is that, are we close or are we not close? I don't know.
This is my mom, Trudy, okay?
Mm-hmm. Your show is no good to me.
Okay. Sorry. Discover live radio, podcasts, news, and sports you love.
S-E-E-K-R. Seeker.
Download the free app from the App Store or Google Play. Seeker. Seek your sounds.
Seeker.
The Vancouver Giants take on Tarek Parasak and the Prince George Cougars Friday, September 27th at 7 p.m. Come see the G-Men overpower their division rivals and launch them all the way back to Northern BC. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now. VancouverGiants.com/tickets.
A delicious new deal is at Tim's. $3 for a classic breakfast sandwich when you buy any size hot or iced coffee. You heard that right. Just $3 for a classic breakfast sandwich with Canada's favorite coffee. Terms apply. See app for details.
It's time for Tim's.
PC Optimum More Days are here.